What's up, everyone, on AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. We're talking with hotshot director, producer, and writer Tony Estrada. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everyone? Thank you for joining me on Spotlight On AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much to Mr. Tony Estrada for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me, man.
First of all, you know, most people will know you from Bridesman, your short film, which has hit the biggest so far, which is, you know, spoiler alert, being made into a feature film.
Yeah.
And that's in pre-production now.
Correct.
For filming in summer, correct?
Yeah, it's late summer, early fall.
So search around for it, and every article ever is about Bridesman right now about you, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I found it everywhere. And it was hilarious, and thank you so much for letting me watch it.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
18 minutes of nonstop laughter, and kind of like, because I'm half, I guess, second generation, but some of the stuff I resonate with too, because everything, the marriage, you know, marrying into the family, you know, you don't want to marry somebody, kind of like, you know, you get told, marry another Persian for me, you know? And I'm like, no, I want to try, I want to date around or something like that. But yeah, it really hit home, so I feel like a lot of people can relate to it, and that's what maybe it hit home, and I feel like it was a very Robert Rodriguez feel in incorporating a lot of the Latino aspect in Mexican-American culture.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's definitely what I got from it, with a huge cast of Latino-Americans and Johnny, which was a hilarious character.
Yeah.
So if nobody has, which I would be dumbfounded, about Bridesman, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's... like you said, it's a short film, 18 minutes. We shot it last February, premiered in May. But very briefly, it's about a brother and sister who grew up being best friends after their parents' divorce. And many years later, the sister's getting married. And she asks her brother to be the maid of honor at the wedding. The only problem is he hates the guy she's marrying. And he's also very bro-y and alpha male-ish. And it just doesn't set well for him. So that's kind of where the story goes off from there.
It is. And it's like Johnny was the perfect name for the brother, right?
Yeah.
I feel like it couldn't get any better than that.
So funny story is it's very based off my reality of me initially hating my brother-in-law for no reason. And his name's Johnny. So that's where the lead character
When you told him about the lead character's name, Johnny, what did he have to say about it? Was he just like,
he actually had no idea that the movie was about him until the premiere. And he saw the movie and he heard the name Johnny and he just sat back and was like, oh, okay, so this is about me.
That's a shocking surprise. I feel like I'd be like, what do I think about that? Yeah. We're already married, though. And in case in that movie, they're not married yet, and Johnny's trying to kind of ruin it.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, like, it was very much based off personal experience of... I wasn't trying to ruin my sister's wedding. That was not the goal.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was doing everything I could to talk smack against him, say this guy's not right for you because, you know, he's such a wuss, whatever it might be. But then lo and behold, just like the arc of the story, I was totally wrong. So.
Yeah, and we got that in the first 5 minutes about he was just complaining about this guy.
Yeah.
Which, and will it be available anywhere for people to see?
Yeah, it'll be up in May, I believe, on a short film website. The name is slipping me right now.
Okay, we'll put it in the comments below, so if you want to check it out, which you should, it'll be in the comments for sure.
Yeah.
So let's start from the beginning of your Mr. Estrada's life, all right? So you're born to a x-ray technician and an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy.
Yeah.
How and why did you want to become a filmmaker?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you where it started. Mm-hmm. I just remember when I was really young, 8 years old, just running around with my parents' camera and remaking a lot of movies, like Pearl Harbor with my friends. Like, how do you remake Pearl Harbor with, you know, your backyard? But, you know, we figured out creative ways to do it and stuff like that. And then from there, every time I got money for Christmas or my birthday, I would immediately go to Best Buy or have my mom take me to Walmart and buy DVDs, even if I'd never seen them before.
Oh, wow.
And then when I got to college, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I initially wanted to go into the CIA, so I thought, okay, I'll study business and Arabic. And 2 years in, I figured I'm no good at math, and Arabic is super hard. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, and then, you know, it just came down to, I figured, you know, I love writing, I love movies, why not put the two together? And my very first film class, classical film theory, I didn't like, but I was just so drawn to it at the same time, couldn't get enough of it. So that's kind of where it all kicked off.
Interesting. So it was like, it's not something that you had thought about since a little kid. You enjoyed making it, but you never really realized that I want to be a filmmaker right this instant. It just kind of formulated.
Honestly, like, I didn't even know there was a such thing as a director until I was like 12 or 13 years old when I saw Requiem for a Dream, which is not an age-appropriate movie, yeah. but that was the first time where I actually noticed, you know, there's someone crafting a movie. So that would be my first sort of inkling where I was just mm-hmm. like, that's really cool that someone did this, you know? So
yeah.
That, I would say, is kind of the first point where I really noticed it.
And then after you graduated, you were brought in as a teacher.
Yeah.
At your high school you graduated from.
Yeah, my old high school, which
and
was a lot of fun.
You were also interning.
Not quite.
Was that so at the same time?
Almost. So I was actually starting as a teacher at my old high school, uh-huh. Starting the film production program there, which was awesome and a ton of fun. Really enjoyed it, especially at all boys high school. A lot of great stories there. Midway through, I actually happened to see one of my buddies from college post on Facebook. They was working at MGM, just randomly hit him up on Facebook and was like, hey, is there an open position? And he's like, yeah. And so eventually, come March or April of that year, that's when I started going and interning on Fridays. I would leave my job and go on Fridays to go intern.
Wow. Okay. So it really just kind of started rolling after your teaching job, and then a friend's Facebook post is how it almost all started, I guess.
Yeah.
Because then your world was open to real filmmaking everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the thing was, you know, I knew after I graduated that this is what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, but I just knew it had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I just saw that that came up, I was just like, okay, this is a perfect place to start. Let's do this.
MGM isn't a bad place at all to start your career.
Yeah.
And then jumping to 2014, in my opinion, you were a huge hustler.
Yeah.
Because you had directed your second short film at this time, For My Youth, The Bell Tolls.
Yeah.
And it got a lot of attention. And you had 5 other jobs during this time.
Yeah.
How do you do that? That sounds like some like Tony Robbins. Like, I would have to get hyped up by Tony Robbins to do anything like that. But you did it on your own, no doubt. How'd you do it?
Actually, I went to Tony Robbins 2 weeks ago. It was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, he rolled through LA.
The thing was while I was making this movie, or excuse me, while I was making my previous movies, I actually had an internship with director Lee Tolan Krieger, who's a studio director working on, he did Age of Adeline with Blake Lively and Harrison Ford. So, you know, I was very much just tagging along with him. And it was unpaid, so I had to figure out a way to survive, basically,
yeah.
and a way to make sure that whatever I needed to do to make money and to make sure that I was paying rent and make sure I could eat, I was doing. So, you know, honestly, it was just, I knew I had to do it. You know, the pool was there for me to just, I was hungry enough to make sure that, you know, I just worked and did what I could to make a living.
No, I understand, because I think a lot of us in LA, like, we see, you know, copy credit, IMDb credit as the pay, and we're like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
What lawn can I cut in the meantime, or what, like, what laundry can I fold for someone to make that money?
Yeah.
But I'll be in your film for sure,
exactly.
for free. And I feel like that's totally what you exactly did, and it's LA. You have to do it, then obviously it pays off.
Absolutely.
Because then we jumped to 2016, and then you filmed your first, like, biggest short, which was Bridesman with Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
How easy was it to get a vet like that in your film?
You know, it was just grace of God, stroke of luck, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, when we initially set out to make Bridesman, I told my producer buddy, Jonah, that, hey, here's a list of people that I would very much like to have in this movie. I said, we just need to get one of them. One name to kind of make this a little bit bigger than just a short film.
Mm-hmm.
And so the casting director, we worked with him very closely, and he really hustled and did his best to do everything he could. And we're getting a lot of bites on a lot of really awesome people. And Danny was always number one on my list because I had seen him in Spy Kids a long time ago. I was like, I know I want to work with that guy. And the casting director just so happened to have had a relationship with his agent. And so he actually initially passed on the movie because it was a short.
Yeah.
And then his agent said, you really need to do this movie and you really need to check it out. And he read it and he's like, this is hilarious. I have to do this. And it just happened to work out after that.
Wow. Yeah. So he passed on it at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, if I had a nickel every time you hear that. And then all of a sudden it turned into something great.
Yeah.
So is he going to be a part of the feature now?
You know, he loved being a part of the short, and we were so thankful to have him on board and everything he did after that. You know, we're definitely still wanting him very much to be a part of it, and he's expressed interest.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just a matter of, you know, putting the two worlds together, you know, hopefully in the future, and making sure that that comes together.
Hopefully. I'd love to see it, because yeah. I wouldn't ever imagine seeing Machete or any other part he's ever played as a stripper yeah. at a party and taking off his shirt. One of my favorite parts is when he says, oops, I dropped something, and then bends over. And I think my actual favorite part is when Frank comes home.
Yeah.
Oh, I won't say too much,
yeah.
but when Frank comes home and then the stripper is still dancing on one of the friends, yeah. like, for 20 minutes while they're still arguing about, like, yeah. this brother-sister hate going on.
Yeah, they...
And there's no F's given at that point.
They were so... Everyone on set was just so down for everything. You know, I would come up with an idea or I would have written something, and everyone was just so game to do it, you know, and it was just so great. And even Mr. Trejo, when the initial talks were, he'll take off his shirt, but he won't take off his pants. And we're like, okay, like, that's fine. And then the very first thing he does is like, do you need me to take off my pants? I said, sure. And would you also mind putting on this American Speedo? And he's like, yeah, whatever you need. And
oh, so,
you know, just like I said, it was such an awesome set to be a part of, such a family atmosphere. Everyone just wanted to help each other. Everyone just wanted to make sure that this movie succeeded and just did the best that they could. And like I said, that was just the most rewarding part for me. And it's just really awesome.
Yeah. Like you were saying, you conceptualized it, you created it.
Yeah.
And now look where it's come. I think I was talking with someone about that with a lot of other web series that have become big icons at this point, or big shows, big movies. And I think this is that too, where it's become a feature. I mean, that's, for people who aren't in LA, that's huge.
Yeah.
Even funding for a short is huge.
Yeah.
Funding for a pilot is huge.
Yeah.
You know, just getting three friends to do it for free is huge.
Yeah.
So to become, like, get this far in the game is already amazing, and having a star like that in your movie and having friends that are on board to do whatever you want. Like, yeah. How many days did it take to shoot?
We actually did it in 3.5, which was an insanely difficult schedule.
I would not
to
have thought. Yeah. I feel like we had, what, one night scene, and then it looked like...
Yeah, there's like, I think there's 4 or 5 locations, so it was definitely a grind, but, you know, like I said, if we had our mindset on getting this done right, and we just had the right people, so...
Yeah, and it was awesome. Like, was any of your family in the film that we would know?
Like, so my dad was security for Mr. Okay. Trejo. My mom and my grandmother cooked. And
okay.
then you'll also see a bunch of my family in the background. And like the finale scene, and just throughout, you'll see they're sprinkled in all throughout.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun, because I saw a lot of EPs as Estrada.
Yeah.
So were they hands-on heavily?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And, you know, I definitely found myself in a financial hole a couple times, and they sort of bailed me out. And, you know, thankfully I've been able to repay them in different ways for what they've done for me. So that's why you see their name on the EP
list. Well, that's
good
to hear. Yeah. That's good to hear. Yeah. So who are some of your biggest influences, I guess, in not just the Latino community or mm-hmm. from the West Covina area, but I guess, like, in filmmaking, who are yeah. your biggest influences that you kind of look up to?
My number one, hands down, is definitely Martin Scorsese.
Okay.
I mean, for obvious reasons, the guy is just a master at mm-hmm. what he does in every aspect. But what I've loved most about his work, it's connected with me on such a deep level. You know, growing up Catholic, he's made a lot of Catholic-themed movies, or at least made a lot of movies that have questioned faith. And that's really, you know, to have that speak to me so deeply as compared to, you know, 14 years of Catholic school.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, have them really, you know.
The all-boys school, like you were saying. Yeah,
exactly. And just have it connect with me so deeply and really push me to my boundaries of, you know, what is it I really believe in and stuff like that is just awesome. But more to that, he just has been able to integrate Italian-American culture the way that I hope to integrate Mexican-American culture, which is, this isn't an Italian movie. This isn't a Mexican movie. This is an American movie that just so happens to have, you know, Italians
well
or
put.
Mexicans in it. So,
yeah, well put.
You know, and he just is able to connect with audiences on such a deep level because of that, because it's not just for Italians. It's not just for whomever. And that's what I really hope to do with my career as well.
So I guess saying that, what is your biggest goal that you're trying to achieve? Like, what's the ultimate goal for you when you say you're trying to achieve exactly what you said? I can't put it word for word.
Yeah. My biggest goal right now is just being brutally honest, I want to have a major impact on the way that Mexican Americans are approached. I should say Latinos in general are approached in the United States. There's a gigantic market right now that's out there that is not being utilized as much as it can be, and to financial advantage. But not only that, there's just such an immense pool of talent out there that I also feel is being underused, and that's where I want to come in, is combine both the financial aspects of it along with, you know, helping to usher in new talent that can really push the industry to new levels, both again economically and in from a cultural standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you say incorporate and I guess more exposure to that community and market,
yeah,
what would be your ultimate movie incorporating everything, and you really wanting to, like, I guess you're really wanting to appeal to that market? What would you pitch for the ultimate film that would be for that community?
That is an awesome question. You know, honestly, right now, I can think of Bridesman, just, you know, obviously not the final goal, but just a very nice piece of what I hope to accomplish, which is, this is a movie about an American family and about American culture as I see it today, which is, again, I feel like is a little different than an approach that's been taken before, which is, this is a Mexican family living in America.
Yeah.
You know, now it's an American family that just happens to be Mexican. You know, so that's the way that we're approaching this movie, is how do we integrate both cultures the way that, not the way I've really felt it, which is being a third generation Mexican. You know, I don't, I'm not from the country, you know, but at least I have all the influence still heavily impacted on me. And I feel like what we're able to do with the short and what I aim to do with the feature is to have people really feel that, feel like this is a movie for everybody, you know? And again, it just so happens to be Mexicans involved.
And it's funny because even tacos were heavily involved in the whole movie, but we all love tacos. Yeah, exactly. Even Trejo's tacos are taking off, you know? Yeah. Tacos are everywhere. So it wasn't, I don't think it was just Mexican.
Yeah.
We all love the food.
Exactly.
And one of my favorite parts is, I guess, when the taco, like, he crunches, or he throws a taco, Johnny throws a taco, and it perfectly covers Frank's face.
Yeah.
And I loved it when he wiped it away, because I was like, he's coming to the family.
Yeah, you know what's funny was, so Johnny's obviously very based off me and how much I eat and how much I love food and just cannot stop eating. And my producer, Joan, and I fought adamantly about that scene, you know, very jokingly and stuff like that. I was like, this will not be the movie. This is a dumb scene. And he goes, no, if there's one thing I'm going to do, this is going to be the movie. And sure enough, when we showed it, everyone started laughing. And he just went, I told you. And I was like, dang it.
You're right. It was so good. It was so perfect. And it's actually true that you say it's so based off of you, because you were a personal trainer.
Yeah.
And he's very alpha.
Yeah.
And just, like, all about the gains.
Yeah.
I remember, like, some of the first scenes, he's just discussing, I need to build muscle
for
the ladies and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so that totally makes sense. Did you ever feel like that with your sister when she was like, calm down? Or she was annoyed when you, because I know, like, I like to work out. So sometimes when I'm talking with buddies, I'm talking about, oh, how to get better gains.
Right.
What to eat to get more gains. It's like, would your sister ever also tell you, like, chill out?
Yeah.
No girl's going to want you, okay?
You know, a lot of the dialogue actually is based off conversations I had with her or with my brother or with my parents. And, you know, actually this whole sort of, I don't want to call it transformation, but this sort of evolution I went through was because of a conversation my brother had with me, and was just like, cut this BS out. Like, no one's falling for it. Just be you, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was, that's essentially where that whole idea came from. And that's why I kind of ran with it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So it literally translates from real life.
Yeah.
Now, I guess it's funny that it's so play by play about your life.
Yeah.
Was there anything that was, I guess, I don't think anything would be exaggerated completely. Was there anything that didn't happen that would more, because I know you probably didn't bring strippers in the air. I won't say too much, but you know what I'm saying? Like, was there anything that was just like obvious didn't happen?
I would say, honestly, probably the first 14 minutes is pretty much like how it more or less played out. The day laborers thing, that actually just came about. That's where I got the initial idea for it.
Uh-huh.
Was I was living at my brother's house at the time, and he had this liquor store by his house. There's always day laborers hanging out there. And one day I was coming home from the gym, and one of the day laborers just had his shirt open and was just sitting like this. And I go, I came to my brother and I go, dude, would it be funny if day laborers were strippers? And he just started busting up laughing. He goes, go write this right now. And so that's where it all started. And then from there, I just took on, you know, my sister's relationship with her husband and how I felt about that to give it depth. So that's kind of the one thing I would say.
I don't think you'd ever see that, but it is possible. Especially if, but I would be scared Danny Trejo asking him to strip.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see he was super on board with all your ideas on the whole film.
Yeah.
Now, I have an idea for a sequel.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
If it already hasn't been written, because it's so easy. Now, is Frank going to be making Johnny's bachelor party?
not in the way we have it written right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there is something set already.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Cool. Good to know. Because I want to see it formulate into more. I feel like this could be a huge, like a beautiful mess.
Yeah.
Of just a family affair, and then the parents get involved. Maybe it could even. Look at me, I'm trying to brainstorm right now. Because Johnny could be having problems with girls, and then you know how sometimes parents, as you know, we have foreign parents sometimes where they're like forcing marriage on us.
Yeah.
Like, I know I have that.
Yeah.
My dad's always telling me who to date. And I'm like, no, and I feel like that could be another take at it too. So jumping back to Scorsese, what film could you reboot any film, what would it be and why?
Of his?
Yeah, of his.
You know, I've always personally wanted to make a Mexican mafia movie. The Mexican mafia is insane.
That's a gang, right?
Yeah, they're not obviously as well known as the Italian mafia, but they do some pretty heinous crimes that you wouldn't believe. And I would love to tie that into family and how, you know, again, more about how I grew up and. Not that my grandparents or anybody.
Extreme heinous crimes around there.
Nobody's associated with that. But the way that Goodfellas was able to tie in, you know, just Americana with the culture, with history, with just the evolution of this one man and his family as well.
Yeah.
I love that whole idea, and I would love to do something very similar along those lines. But again, give it a different spin.
Who would be starring as the Ray Liotta in Ray Liotta's place? Who could you imagine? Who could you imagine as for the Mexican mafia growing into the Mexican mafia? And he says, ever since I could remember, I always wanted to be in the Mexican mafia. That's just changed up that little bit.
Yeah. Man, who would I go with?
What's his name from Spy Kids? The redhead. He's just in Eli Roth's Green Inferno.
His name is slipping my mind right now. I know exactly who you're talking about.
He looks young still.
He does, yeah.
He could grow up.
Very much so, yeah.
But that would be cool to see. I feel like, I think it would be cool because I know even everyone has a mafia. I think you could translate a Goodfellas film into every culture. And I feel like it would be super wanted.
Yeah.
We all slightly want to know about these dirty underground mobs, what they're up to,
right,
you know?
Right.
And because we always get a little bad, like, would it be fun rolling around with intimidation? A little bit.
You know, what was awesome was one of my classes, my senior year of college, we actually studied the history of the gangster film and about how Goodfellas was the, you know, kind of the flipping the gangster film on its head, because you got to admit, in Goodfellas, being a gangster looks like a heck of a lot of fun.
So, yeah, for sure.
You know, which obviously ends up not so good, but that's what, you know, is the appeal of that movie so much, is like he makes it look like fun.
I think every movie almost following that made you still, because it showed you that, it can be fun. Because like, aside from like Black Mass, where it was kind of like elongated, really long, very storytelling. But this one, like you're saying, was just super. You make money.
Yeah.
You're intimidating.
Yeah.
And your friends are loyal. Until Robert De Niro tells you to turn around the corner and you go, right there. I'll never forget that scene because I remember being so scared watching that whole thing play out.
I mean, still watch it. I watch it at least once a year and I'm still like, don't do it, lady.
Every time I go to a gym where Ray Liotta goes to, and whenever I see him, I see him like that. He looks so as intimidating as he does in the film.
Yeah.
Every single day, even when he's in the gym. Moving a little bit slower.
Yeah.
But I swear to you, just as scary. That's awesome. What else is another Martin Scorsese film that could incorporate the whole mafia movement? I'm sure there's other ones that's been created.
Another one for me is Gangs in New York.
Okay.
I love the history behind it. I love the history that he presented. I love that era of history.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you can go back and Mexican-American history and see, I don't want to say similar stuff, but at least a clash of, you know, the Chicano culture with, you know, the present American culture here.
Yeah. So. Well, that's really neat. And then also, what don't we know about you that you think we might like to know? That could be coming out, projects coming out, because I know you have several things in development.
Yeah, there's quite a bit coming up. One project I'm really excited about that I've been kind of crafting and working on for quite a while now is called Manny.
Okay.
It's based off my experiences as a male nanny.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and that's one that I've really been working on, kind of trying to get the tone down. It's been a tough tone to nail. But another one I'm also working on is a father-son action comedy based off my father's experience in East LA. So
this is all based on real life.
Yeah.
And then, so are you going to see something ridiculous and then tie in the real life to it, just like the day labor strippers?
Yeah. I mean, that could very well be, you know, so it's all very much like still brewing. And like I said, I've written pages of certain stuff and gone through drafts of stuff, but I'm really still formulating exactly what it is I'm trying to say.
How long does it take your process, or tell us about your process when you're creating something?
Yeah. So, Bridesman the Short took me 2.5-3 days to write.
What?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say years.
No. And honestly, because the first draft, I think, took me 2-2.5 hours, just because it was just coming from such a place of heart and where, you know, coming from such a natural place that it just flowed. But when I'm working on a longer script or a TV pilot, it could take me a couple days, a couple weeks. It all just kind of depends on, again, what space it's coming from. If it's coming from, am I trying to make something great, or if I'm, you know, really writing from here, which is where I notice the real difference is coming from.
Yeah, and then I guess with right now you're so busy with pre-production.
Yeah.
And then fitting another, I guess, Manny and his father-son action duo superhero. Is that going to be a part of a Civil War, you think? Avengers Civil War or anything like that? Is going to be tied in? Two worlds?
I'm not quite sure it's going to tie in there.
Marvel and Strata films into one superhero flick?
Yeah, it's just going to be one gigantic universe.
Possible. Yes.
There'll be Bridesman, then there'll be the action comedy, there'll be Manny, and all somehow tied in.
Trejo is already Machete. So you have a superhero, and you have Manny who just throws, I don't know what you did as
yeah, exactly.
But everything. So, and then what else can we, like, is there anything that we can look forward to in the coming months?
Yeah, I mean, right now, there's two things that I'm primarily focused on, obviously, besides Bridesman, I write a lot of articles that I've been fortunate enough so far to have a couple of them published about a wide range of topics that I really enjoy doing, and I've been really fortunate to, again, get out there. And then the other thing is, as part of the Bridesman process, we're actually be making another short.
Oh, great.
Yeah. That we're really excited about. It's a romantic comedy that takes place at a funeral. So.
Oh, you don't hear about that every day. Yeah. Where is that? What stage is that in currently?
That one's still in the writing phase. We've gone through a couple drafts, still trying to get, again, it's a very tough tone to hit.
Yeah.
So we're really trying to hit the tone correctly before we really start to push it forward.
So is it almost like are they insensitive to the whole thing, or is it just like love at first sight? When you're in love, you're in love, and it doesn't matter where.
It's about a guy and a girl who have just sort of started dating. They're not really sure where they're at.
Yeah,
and the grandfather dies, and it kind of pushes the question. Well, are we official? What are we doing here? You know what I mean? So
the worst place to do it.
Exactly.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. When do you think we could see a production, or like when a release or anything like that?
You know, it's I would say probably not till early next year.
Okay.
I would say we'll probably, our goal is to shoot it in the summer before Bridesman goes. So that is kind of the general game plan right now.
Well, perfect. We'll look out for it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Mr.
Really
Tony Strada, Bridesman feature film, and then also we got Bridesman the Short that's going to be online. We'll put it in the comments below still.
Yeah.
In May?
Yeah, in May.
In May, and we'll put it in the comments below once again. Thank you so much. I'm Nick Marty, and where can we find you at?
You can find me on Facebook at Tony Estrada, or on Instagram at Get Done Day, or Twitter, Get Done Day as well.
Get Done Day. And you can find me always at NickMarty13. Thank you guys so much for AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. Catch y'all later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. to watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.